And this is Good Sports, live today from the Wynn in Las Vegas on the Las Vegas Strip. Racing Sports Director John Avello, our guest today. Johnny, welcome to the show. What's happening, man?
Things are good. Big weekend coming up. Looking forward to it and trying to get all my work done before it hits.
Has there ever been a bigger combined weekend? You've got the Kentucky Derby, which nobody's talking about, but a lot of people that don't know nothing about horse racing will be in your racing sports book watching the race, betting on it, and then followed later that evening by the Pacquiao-Mayweather fight. They're saying the fight of the millennium.
Yeah, probably so. Maybe the fight of all time.
Yeah?
If you've been hanging out in our area here, the racing sports book, there's certainly a lot of chatter about the race itself.
Right.
You know, yes, the fight is probably taking top billing, but for us, the horse racing is going to come first. And there's going to be other races leading up to that race, so it should be a full day of horse racing for our horse racing bettors. Once the race is over by 4 o'clock or so, then the fight will take precedent. I could see lines of people betting until the fight goes off probably around the 9-ish, 9:30, 12:30, wow. 2 in the morning, whenever that thing goes off. I don't know. No one knows exactly when the fight will go off. But
You'll take wagering right up till the very bitter end?
We will, right up until the bell sounds for the round one.
Right.
And I just expect this to be the largest betting fight of all time.
This is not your first rodeo. You've done big fights before. A lot of money comes in late on fights. Guys arrive late. People arrive late, and there's not that much movement in this fight. It has moved probably more than most fights have. But are you expecting big money on either of them or on both of them for this fight?
I believe I've taken more money on this fight early than I have for any other fight I've ever booked. There has been six-figure wagers on this fight.
Wow.
And they started 2 months ago. And it happens on a weekly basis. So this fight has all the indications to be the biggest fight handle for the books ever. Doesn't mean we're going to come out on the, with the plus on the revenue side, but handle-wise, there's going to be a lot of money bet on this one. And, you know, the hype's been there, and I got to be honest with you, it's been worthy of that type of hype.
Absolutely, and I don't know that this fight, it could be the greatest fight ever and still not live up to the hype. One of the things that people don't really talk about a whole lot is the third man in the ring, which is going to be Kenny Bayless. You know the fight's going to be supremely refereed. I don't know a better referee. And the other guys are very, very well qualified that were in the running to do that fight, but they've got Kenny Bayless in there. He's done both Pacquiao and Mayweather fights. He's not going to be intimidated, and they show him a great deal of respect. I think it's going to be a well-refereed fight. The judges, on the other hand, Dave Moretti from Las Vegas is the only guy that I really have had any dealings with. The other man, I believe he comes from New Jersey, and he was involved in the Pacquiao Juan Manuel Marquez draw, and he miscalculated. He didn't score the first round correctly. He didn't score at 10-6. He scored at 10-7, which ultimately was the one-point difference between Pacquiao winning a majority decision and having a draw. Do you think there's that makeup possibility, just like you see in the NBA, a guy got slapped, yeah, I heard it, and I'll make it up to you the next time somebody breathes in your direction? Do you think that's going to be a
factor?
Don't
get me started, Rick, really, because
job, man.
You know, I don't want to get too far off beat here, but for me, on a fight like this, you put five judges out there. I want to see more scoring. I want to get a better look at what five people would give me rather than three would give me. Pacquiao's been in fights. How about the Bradley fight?
Yeah.
Won the fight easily, comes out on the short end. I don't like that, to see that, and when I'm taking this much money, I want to make sure that the winner is actually the winner.
Yeah.
I don't want to see some guy dominate a fight and the decision go to the other fighter. And so, therefore, if it was me, I think they should use more judges for this particular fight. No one has suggested it. Haven't seen it yet.
Doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. You suggested it, Johnny, and you've got it. You've got a unique look at it. You have other people that you have to answer to, and that's the bettors. They have to have a fair fight. It's got to be a fair deal, just like out here on the table games and those things. And they kind of hold you responsible for something you have no control over. So, yeah, the five. Would you like to see scoring up on a scoreboard during a fight, so they know what where we are in the fight?
I would. You know, I think they should probably try to experiment with some lower-end fights, see how it works. I mean, we've seen a lot of changes in sports.
Absolutely.
Now we see how the scoreboard on TVs, how it's shown. We've seen rules change in the NFL. We've seen rules change in hockey. There's always something different to try to enhance a particular sport. I would like to try it. You know where you stand as a fighter.
Yeah.
You know where you stand as a bettor.
You bet.
You know where you stand as a bookmaker.
Absolutely.
So if you're a fighter and you're down a couple points heading into the last round, what do you need? You need a couple knockouts, a couple knockdowns, or a knockout.
Absolutely. Guy knows exactly where he stands, like you say. Their argument against that is the judges are independent of one another, so anyone can judge. That's how you get split decisions and those things. If I know what the other guy is, that they are afraid that they'll all just do it so they're to avoid controversy. So that's their justification. There is some justification, I suppose, to that. I mean, some substance to that argument. You mentioned about the importance of this. We've pretty much bypassed the Kentucky Derby, Johnny. It is a big event. I know you're a big racing fan. This is a place the win is known for the race action that you get here. How many race and sports books do you have running up there on the big screens right now? And I mean, how many race tracks are represented? We're in the middle of the day.
It's 12 up there right now, and on a Saturday there's probably 25.
Yeah, and you've got the dog action out of Florida.
You got the dogs to go along with that, so you have to accommodate everything here in this sports book. This race is a big deal to me.
Yeah.
First of all, this is the best crop of 3-year-olds that I've seen in a very, very long time. You know, every year there's usually one good horse and there's a bunch of also rans. Not that the good horse always wins it,
but
this year we have three really top horses, followed closely by another three or four. And so to me, there are 7 horses that can win this Derby this year.
Okay.
And the Derby's the biggest betting race of the year for anybody in the U.S. There may be some bigger races over in, over offshore or over in Europe. But for the U.S., is the biggest betting race. This is a race where you can really make some serious money if you can put the numbers together. And I've seen tries come back 100, 200 grand.
Oh, absolutely.
Race.
And the pools are so much bigger simply because people
that
don't know anything about horse racing decide my best way to spend my money is in a 20-horse race of all very evenly matched horses.
Yes.
They have to qualify to get into the Kentucky Derby. Are you a big fan of how the Triple Crown is set up? We talked about everybody changing their rules. The NHL changed their rules. Everybody's allowed more people into the playoffs. Even NASCAR has adjusted their playoffs to have a championship. Horse racing, I believe, needs a Triple Crown winner, and they screw themselves out of it every time they have a shot because they let somebody lay in the weeds and only run the Belmont and train simply for that race where the other horses had to go along. Would you like to see some changes to maybe ensure that a Triple Crown winner really will have beaten the same horses or thereabouts in all three races?
I will admit that for a 3-year-old to win 3 races over the course of 7 weeks is very, very tough. But if you change that, what does that mean for the other horses who have already accomplished that?
Right.
That's a blemish for them. So now you're making it easier for horses of today. You'd have to separate the record books, start fresh now.
Do you hold it against an NFL champion like Green Bay, Titletown, who only had to beat one other team for the NFL championship rather than the playoff systems where now teams have to win 4 or 5 games? We don't differentiate that way. I'm just saying, kind of as a devil's advocate, with all the different changes, we still hold those teams to be equal to the other teams. Stanley Cup, same way. Used to have 6 teams. Now they've got 30 teams. So the playoffs have expanded. We still hold those championships to be equal value. You wouldn't like that I think racing needs a Triple Crown, and I think they may adjust just to simply accommodate that because they don't have a whole lot of other options. I mean, you do a great deal here, but this is the exception rather than the rule for racing here.
Well, remember, Rick, when you say no horse has won it, that's true since back in 1979.
Yeah.
But there's been some really close calls.
Oh, you bet, Smarty Jones. There aren't 5
Big
of
Brown,
them?
Funny Side. Yeah. Just recently, there's been real quiet.
Yeah.
There was a couple over the last 5 years, there's been 2. So they get the first 2. It's just that usually by the third leg, they're either worn down a little or a fresh shooter, as they call them, come and gets them.
Yeah,
gets them in a stretch. So
that's the rub.
Unfortunately, it hasn't happened for a long time, but I don't think I changed that portion of the game.
All right. I still, my first exposure to the Triple Crown was Secretariat in 1973. I was in basic training, and I damn near bribed our drill instructor to let me just go watch the races, and I watched the Preakness and the Belmont, you know, the Belmont, and none of the other horses ended up in the photo because the secretary made it through in 31 and a half lengths up. They had to estimate how far because none of the other four, the camera shut down by the time the second place horse got through.
Yeah, he was a special one for sure. And there hasn't been, well, first of all, there hasn't been anything like him since he won, and maybe there's never been anything like him, period.
Match the hype. Secretary, everybody knew, I mean, all that pressure. I don't think the horse read the paper, but, you know, you look at Ron Turcotte looking back and Penny Tweedy and that whole bunch. Secretariat was the next one in line after Citation, and then we had Seattle Slough and Affirmed, and it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. This year, those horses I mentioned, those horses have a chance to win a Triple Crown. Unfortunately, I mentioned seven good ones, didn't I?
They're going to knock each other off?
Very possible.
Who do you like, John? Straight up.
You know, I'm looking at the race. Before I came down to do this interview, I'm looking at the race, and American Pharoah is going to be the short price. But I don't usually go for a short price in a Derby because there's just too much trouble that can happen.
Right.
So I have to look at the odds before I can actually make my selection that I'm going to play. Because I always play this race.
What that means is you're playing value rather than any particular horse. Where's the best value on a horse that I like?
Yeah, so I would look at horses. I think Dortmund's a very good horse.
Okay.
If Dortmund has odds of 4-1 in North, worth looking at. There's horses in there that a lot of people don't know about. Upstart, Frosted. These are all horses that are very capable of winning this race that are going to go off probably in 10-15-1 range. So that's where you need to look. That's where I'll be looking. And, you know, we'll see what those odds are.
Post position going to be a big factor in 20 horses?
Oh, absolutely. You know, post positions are being drawn on Wednesday at 2:30. And so, therefore, that's going to make a difference on what the odds are for these particular horses. We believe that American Pharoah will be the favorite. If he draws the 1 or the 2 or 19 or 20, he could be higher odds than he should be. Anything else in the middle, I think he's 5-2 morning line, and I really believe he doesn't go off more than 2-1 for the race.
All right. Well, John, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time. Race and Sportsbook Director here at the beautiful Wynn Las Vegas. We are in the beautiful Race and Sportsbook. Here our guest, John Avello. This is good sports for all of us here. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.